There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Grill, broadcasting live from Brest, where the game is always on. And what have we got for you today? There is FA Cup action, Super Rugby is back, there is international cricket being played across the globe, and right here in the UAE, Pakistan Super League is underway. We've got details on all of that. Many guests joining us over the next few hours. Any live scores, we'll keep you updated on those. Look ahead to the forthcoming Dubai Duty Free Tennis Championships. Women's Week gets underway tomorrow down at the Dubai International Tennis Stadium. In fact, we're going to be down there live for the draw and give you some insight to some of the players that will be turning out for the event this week. Looking ahead to the F1 calendar for 2019 and, of course, much, much more. So, if you would like to join the conversation, we're encouraging you to do exactly that. Please do text us now on 4001. You can have your say at Barasti Beach, at Dubai I1038 FM, at Dubai iSport. Or equally, you can get yourself down here to Barasti, where the game is always on. Do come on down to the Barasti. Look upwards, head to the rooftop garden, and do join us as we delve in and dive in to 3 hours of sports chat.
Fabulous goal!
This is The Grill, live from Barasti, with more sport, the latest headlines, and top debate on Dubai Eye 103.8.
So who is taking us there today? Who is keeping us updated on all things sport? Well, it's a warm welcome to Mr. Carlos van Rozenfeld. Big smile on his face. That must mean Super Rugby's back.
Yeah, Tom, very good afternoon, listeners. Super Rugby is, in fact, back, Tom, and we've got one live game on at the moment. What I can tell you is the Sharks are taking on the Sunwolves. That game is coming to us live from Singapore, and the Sharks at the moment are in full control, 31-10 to them. I'll be giving you updates as the scores come in this afternoon.
Looking forward to that one. Matt Fortune is also with us as well. Great to have you on board.
Thanks very much, Tom.
Thanks for joining us, and your friend and colleague, Mr. Chris McCarty, has given you a real belter of a day to bring us bang up to date with, what are we up to, fifth round of the Emirates FA Cup now?
It is indeed the fifth round of the FA Cup, and to be honest, the fixtures don't jump off the page apart from the one later on. I mean, there's the old cliche of magic of the cup is definitely worth staying up for at 9:30 tonight. Manchester City travel to a place that I hadn't even heard of before the game started in Newport County. It's a provincial rugby stadium in South Wales. The millions and millions of pounds on show from Manchester City turning up in their big Death Star looking coach to the back and beyond of South Wales. It's going to be a belting of a game.
We've got all that to look forward to, and we'll have a build up towards that as well. And I'm sure a little bit of sort of mental gymnastics from Pep Guardiola midweek, saying that Newport are stronger than in certain divisions on the field.
Stronger.
Taller and stronger.
Taller and stronger. He's a bit worried about them in the air, Tom. So, well, funnier things have happened.
If that pitch has not been given the treatment, I think, over the last week, I'm sure they've had the kids' teams running up and down, kicking lumps out of it. So expect big balls up into the air. It's going to be a fascinating game to watch.
Before all that, though, we've got a couple of other ties to get our head round as well. In fact, one is off very early, in just a few moments' time. In fact, half past the hour, the early kickoff features who?
Indeed, so you've got Brighton nosediving in the Premier League, so a welcome distraction for them. They host Derby County. Derby, of course, managed by Frank Lampard, got pedigree in this competition. They're knocking on the door of the Championship playoffs down there in the second tier of English football. But it's good to see that Lampard is playing a very strong team, in fact. Ashley Cole, who's won the Cup more than any other player, he's got a squad on the bench having joined in January. But Brighton, perhaps with one eye on the fact that they are looking nervously over their shoulder in the Premier League. They've made 8 changes. Glenn Murray, their top scorer, isn't even in the squad. So I fancy a bit of an upset here, Tom.
We will watch on. I mean, does it still have the allure, the cup? We often talk about the drama, the romance, everything that goes, the history, everything that goes along with the Emirates FA Cup. Does it still retain that in what has become a very professional, money-orientated, international league?
Yeah, I think if you look at some of the fixtures today, perhaps not for the... It's certainly not going to grab all the headlines and generate the most amount of viewership, but looking at the game like Newport County v Manchester City, it's a great story. You look at the other games today, you've got AFC Wimbledon, of course, the Phoenix Club. They're in the furthest they've been in the competition that they've ever been, in fact, since they were reborn in 2002. They play Millwall, big South London derby. So I do think there are there are games, there are things to keep an eye on, a little bit of interest here. The fact that Derby could make it into a quarter-final where there will be one of either Manchester United and Chelsea who play on Monday, one of those will be out. There's no Arsenal already. Liverpool are out. Tottenham are out. I think we could have an interesting story going into the tournament.
So, predictions time. We've got this early kickoff is at 5:30, is that right?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so do we see... I mean, I suppose that's the other thing to think about with regards to the Emirates FA Cup at the moment is the ability for some of the teams lower down in the division rankings, etc., to sort of A, get their day in the sun, but B, get a couple of big fan days at home and away as well. Maybe it opens up the doors of opportunity with lower ranked teams in the lower leagues.
Yeah, and I think you just have to look at the interest in the Newport County Manchester City game. There were people queuing from midnight to get tickets for this, and what a spectacular occasion. If you're from a little town in South Wales and you have the Manchester City coming to town, I think it's fascinating, regardless of the score. You and I have had a debate on here before after Manchester City's semi-final win against Burton Albion when it was... I've forgotten now, 8-9 after the first leg. And you said then that you think there's no real magic in that. Yeah. But Burton turned up in the next round. It was only 1-0. They gave themselves a good showing. And so there was a little bit of fun there. And I think as long as you... I think sports fans, you don't have to be a fan of the club, but sports fans who love the entertainment, who love the stories, I do think there's opportunity. The fact that Derby County could make a quarter-final, get a favourable draw. Imagine they get either Millwall or AFC Wimbledon. You've got Frank Lampard's Derby County in a Wembley semi-final. I think that's great things.
Do send us your thoughts on all of the sport that we've obviously looking at throughout proceedings. So we've got FA Cup action for you. There's an early kickoff over in Spain as well. We'll keep an eye on that one. There's an early in the Championship as well. So we'll keep an eye on all of those games for you. In terms of our rugby viewing schedule today, as you mentioned, there is another game on in the Super Rugby at the moment.
Yeah, Tommy, we are very spoiled. Currently live, Sunwolves take on Sharks. 7:15 this evening, the Bulls take on the Stormers. That's a South African derby. Looking at the Aviv this evening. Northampton Saints take on Sale Sharks. That kicks off at 6 o'clock. Bath take on Newcastle Falcons. Harlequins take on Worcester. And then, of course, the big one, Saracens take on Leicester Tiger. So that's all kicking off at 7 o'clock this evening. In the Pro 14, we've got Zebra playing Leinster at 6:30. Then at 9:15 this evening, we've got Benetton Treviso taking on Scarlets, Cognac taking on the Cheetahs, and the Cardiff Blues taking on the Glasgow Warriors. And if that's not enough, you can watch the top 14 in France. Clermont taking on Bordeaux, Montpellier taking on Perpignan, Stade Français taking on Lyon, Pelouse taking on Castres, and Agen taking on Toulon.
In terms of that, I mean, we're talking there about the role of the FA Cup in football at the moment. What about the role of obviously we're into the Six Nations at the moment. There is no Six Nations action this week, so they're taking a week off after the two last couple of weeks. So this is the intermediate week, if you like. So no Six Nations action, but club action aplenty in the Gallagher Prem. Not all of the international players have been released by their teams to play for their clubs, with good reason as well, as they look to get ready for next weekend's game. Is that good for the Gallagher Premiership? Is that good for the leading leagues up in the Northern Hemisphere if you are shorn of your international players in what is an important part of the season?
Yeah, Tom, as you say, I think at the end of the day, we want to see the best players play. But I think it gives, like Matt alluded to earlier, it gives fantastic opportunities for youngsters to come through. You know, me and you were just speaking about the outside centre of the Crusaders this morning. That was an unknown factor in how well he's played. So all of a sudden, if you've got a Mario Tojo at Saracens playing above you, or for example, Owen Farrell, this Ladalski is a fantastic talent. So that will give him opportunity to show what he's worth once again at Saracens. So I still think it's fantastic. Whichever way we look at it, it's still important games. It's points that count towards the table. And I think it's a fantastic opportunity to get youngsters coming through, because often, you know, the guy just needs an opportunity and he's got a bright, bright future ahead of him. So I kind of like it because, as I said, it gets us to view new talent that we would normally not see.
No Six Nations action this weekend, but lots of stories coming out of the Six Nations at the moment. England with that barnstorming start to their campaign as well. 2 weeks in, games in, and a few injuries cropping up as well for some of the teams.
Yeah, what I can tell you is Hugh Jones, of course, the Scottish centre, he scored those two sensational tries against England last year. He is out for the rest of the Six Nations, so he's sidelined at the moment. But Tom, looking at the Six Nations, what a fantastic tournament it's been so far, and hats off to Eddie Jones and John Mitchell. Of course, he's brought John Mitchell in as part of the coaching panel, and I'm not saying that John has made the difference, but England, we were just speaking off air, have been so structured, they've been so clinical. And you know, hats off. A lot of people were thinking, was Owen Farrell the right call as captain? And I think he's answered all his critics. He's been absolutely sensational. I definitely think he is the number 10 now. They need to wrap up in cotton wool if they really want to stand a chance in the World Cup. I definitely think they go in there with all guns blazing. But to me, he is the key man for that English team.
Do keep your thoughts coming in, whether it be with regards to all things Gallagher Prem, all things Six Nations, all things sport. If there's anything you'd like to get off your chest, then this is the forum, the opportunity for you to do that. We're going to take a short break now. When we come back, we are going to turn our attention closer to home. The Dubai Corporate Sports Championship is all ready for liftoff a little later on this month. We're going to be talking to the organisers after this.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti. Barasti's 10-year challenge, 29 dirham drinks menu. On sale now.
Yeah, welcome back to The Grill, broadcasting live from Barasti, where the game is always on. Thank you very much indeed to all of you for tuning in and for sending us your thoughts as well. Keep your text coming in on 4001 if you'd like to have your say. Also, we will, of course, keep an eye on the live scores as well. We've got football coming your way. Emirates FA Cup fifth round is getting underway at 5:30. But there is a couple of games on at the moment, I understand. I think one's kicked off down in Spain. We'll try and keep an update on that one for you. And as those goals go in any of the early kickoffs, we'll let you know as and when. In terms of the rugby, though, let's get the latest there from that man over there, Carlos van Rosenfeld.
Yeah, Tom, what I can tell you is 60 minutes played, the Sharks taking on the Sunwolves. It's live from Singapore, and the Sharks dominating this one. 31 points to 10. If you missed the earlier kickoffs this morning, the Hurricanes scraped home against New South Wales, beating them 20 points to 19. And as you say, Bernard Foley will be having sleepless nights, missing that kick right in front of the post. And I'll tell you what, Harry Plammer will be having sleepless nights too. He missed the easiest of conversions. Even Tom Urquhart would have put that over with his left boot. And the Crusaders beating the Blues 24 points to 22.
Talking of rugby, Dubai Hurricanes Illuminati is with us here at the moment, albeit wearing a different top on this occasion. So yep. Welcome.
Different top today, but yes, Dubai Hurricanes technically.
Kane's thrown through. So we've got Kane's man next to an Exiles man. Is it going to be okay? Is that right or not?
Yeah, it should be.
Yeah, it's fine.
We're going to be happy?
We're both over the wall, so it's fine. Well, at least myself. I don't know about him.
There's a floor separating us at the seven, so we're right.
Simon, bless you. Thanks so much for jumping in and coming to join us down here on The Grill, live from Barasti.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You are wearing your colours today with pride, corporate sports.
I have to, absolutely.
That is what we're here to talk about. Dubai Corporate Sports Championship, scheduled to get underway February the 22nd?
22nd and 23rd.
22nd and
February,
23rd.
Yeah. Next week, not far now.
You are one of the organisers of said thing. You're also a corporate wellness expert here in the region. What is the, before we sort of dive into more of the details, what is the sort of concept behind corporate sports and the championship as a whole?
Well, the championship is essentially for corporates around the UAE, and we want to get everyone within businesses, so from the coffee boy all the way up to the CEO, engaged in sports. And sports is the absolute perfect platform to do that. And the actual overall aim of it is to kind of get employees engaged. So it's all very well having nice sports activities externally, but actually having one place for everyone to come down is a perfect location for it.
It's obviously a very significant year. It's the year of tolerance. There is plenty going on with regards to that. Is that something that is one of the themes that's going to be running through the championship itself in 2019?
Yes, definitely. The Dubai Sports Council have heavily jumped on board because they want to see this as their first kickstart into 2019 as the year of tolerance. So we're actually seeing the championship as tolerance in action, which is our hashtag as well for the event. So
22nd, 23rd, they're in the diary now. Where do people need to be heading? Where's going to be your base?
Swiss International School.
Okay.
So, yes, it's down in Al Jadaf.
Yeah.
And it's a amazing location. Perfect backdrop of downtown, great views, perfect facilities, and absolutely world-class.
And talking of those facilities, obviously there's facilities to cater for which sports? Talk us through the championship itself. What sort of sports are you going to be competing?
So there's 18 sports on offer in total, sports and activities, really. So we have a main one, so football, basketball, badminton, and then there's also other ones that you don't actually get at a normal sports there, corporate sports there. So we actually have Climb the Matterhorn, which is rock climbing. So essentially it's a mountain climbing thing. Great. There's swimming as well. There's badminton. There's also the Ninja Warrior course, which we've brought down, which is going to be amazing. Have you seen it before?
No,
it's great. So literally, I mean, it's a US program as well, but we've brought it down.
That one, yeah.
So it's six obstacles put together, loads of different activities, and there'll be a team and individual element to it as well. And there's also a team building as well. So for the 27 companies who have signed up to it, we have over 1,000 participants. So every company has to put in one team building team to round up the entire tournament, which will be fantastic.
It's all, as I said, getting underway. You mentioned that, I mean, that there is a clue in the title there. It's corporate, corporate, corporate. How do you get into it? Do you target certain sort of corporate institutions, or is this open to all corporate institutions?
It is open to any company, any size in the UAE. So we have guys from as small as 10 entries all the way up to 10,000 entries. Well, 10,000 employees, rather. Entries are a bit smaller than that.
Are there different divisions or different standards? Because obviously from these corporates, there might be ex-retired pro athletes, or there might be people that have just started the sport.
Yeah, great question. But I mean, for this event, we want everyone to be included. So it's not just going to be different levels. It's going to be like open for absolutely everyone. And yes, there might be a few ringers in here and there, but we'll find out on the day. Yeah,
nothing wrong with a few ringers, is
it? They have to be employed by the company. If they're employed and Usain Bolt's working for Emirates, that's fine.
So give us an idea of some of the brands, some of the companies, the names that will be competing at the championship.
Well, I mean, the big names are competing as Doo, for example. Yeah. Nikhil are coming down. Maras are coming down. Saudi German Hospital, who's also our medical partner. There's loads. So, but they are the big names. They're also the small names as well. So small companies with only 20 employees, they're having 100% engagement. They're actually all coming down, which will be fantastic.
Coming down, obviously, to bond, to compete, to work as a team as well. Are there other incentives as well? There prizes?
Yes, absolutely. So for every single sport, there's an MVP prize of 5,000 dirhams in cash. Okay. So like you said, the ringers, of course they're coming down for that. That's fantastic. Yeah, I would. Yeah, geez. But then the actual overall prize for the team that gets the most points throughout the tournament is 150,000 dirham corporate wellness program, which is provided by us. And we actually go into the company throughout 2019 and implement this program for them. So it's a great, great incentive.
Talk to us about the growth of corporate wellness, not just as an industry itself within industry, but also as a sort of movement. Are companies becoming more astute about corporate wellness within their organizations?
In the UAE, absolutely. 2 years ago, it wasn't heard of. No one really did corporate wellness in this company, in this country, sorry. And then the initiative last year was of happiness. Yeah. Now, happiness all comes down to mental health, which comes down to wellness. So the companies kind of saw the benefit of it, and now the government are really pushing it for Dubai to become one of the fittest cities in the world. So companies, large companies, they are really, really kind of jumping in and jumping on board with the movement.
Are you seeing many companies during the workday offering classes, might be gym class, yoga classes within their working environment?
Yeah, a lot of companies do that already because, to be honest, it's nice and easy. If you have a spare room, you go find a PT and you kind of put them in there and they implement a nice little HIIT program or a box fit or yoga. But we want companies to actually do a little bit more. We want them to actually integrate all aspects of wellness. So this is mental, this is physical, this is actual awareness in terms of their body, so health awareness. We want them to implement everything throughout the entire year, which we are seeing a bit of a change now to that.
So from your perspective, are you only looking at doing one of these events a year, or could it become a quarterly thing, half-yearly thing? How are you looking at moving forward?
It will definitely be a half-yearly thing. So we're actually looking to do another one in November. Yeah. And then from there, of course, every single year. And eventually this could grow with the help of Dubai Sports Council and, of course, Dubai Tourism. This could grow into initially GCC and then who knows after that.
So you could have a sort of regional games and then possibly a sort of continental games or something like that.
Absolutely, yeah.
We got Matt Fortune alongside us as well. Matt, obviously, you are our resident expert on all things Emirates FA Cup, but you're also, you know, a hard-working individual. Have you been bitten by corporate wellness in the past? Is it something that has inspired you?
Very wary that my current employers are probably listening, so I'm fascinated by it, to be honest. It goes back to a show I used to watch, Billions, set in the legal department in America, and they had an on-site psychotherapist who people they'd be able to go and air their thoughts. And I think it doesn't necessarily need to be sporting or need lots of equipment for it. Just having an environment in which it's proactively encouraged for people to go and talk about the issues that they face at work. And I don't think enough companies do that. I think from my experience, there's a lot of box ticking exercises, and then it's almost like, yeah, we sent you out on one corporate day and we feel like that's enough. But actually there's real steps being made, certainly where I work and in other places I used to work, where there's a much more holistic approach to it and just having people talk about it.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the UAE has very much been just ticking the box, but we want everyone to kind of engage everyone. So yes, the sports day may not engage 100% of a company, like especially the large companies, but throughout 2019 we'll try and engage, well, from the companies coming, we'll try and engage a few more people.
But it's interesting, isn't it? Because you're talking about it from a very holistic approach and looking at it from mental health to physical health to team building, etc. But fundamentally, sports days are still one of those great opportunities to get people together, to have a bit of fun, but also to instill in them the benefits of teamwork.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, sports days they've stand the test of time. I mean, yeah. Everyone did a sports day at school, and that was to get everyone from within the school to get together in one day, and that's migrated into the workforce. So, but yeah, absolutely. This essentially is one massive sports day and for everyone.
Is there? You know, we talked about sort of looking at the results in recent years and things like that. Are we seeing results now in terms of bottom lines and achievements in companies that have embraced corporate wellness?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the return estimated from a global return is 6-1 from a corporate wellness program. It does take 2 years to kind of see a return, but eventually there is a massive return. So it's definitely worthwhile the investment.
And if people are out there at the moment, they're listening in and going, you know what, I'd love to get involved in this one. Is there still time, or is it closed door, or how do they go about it? Or is this a good opportunity for them to see how things are for those future events?
Registrations are technically closed right now. So you can follow us online at corporatesports.ae, and also all our social media is exactly the same, Corporate Sports. And from that, you can kind of get a really good idea of what we put on offer and what the day is about.
So that's something that we're talking about the championship, which is just around the corner, February 22nd, 23rd. Is it open to others? Can people come down and see what it's all about or not?
No, the actual championship is invitation only. So it's literally just for the companies and their friends and family. We do have wellness seminars available as well.
Okay.
So as well as having the nice big sports day available, we have a huge auditorium that we are going to fill. So for all the Friday and the Saturday, we have seminars happening across the entire day. So these range from our nutritional partners coming down to actually put a seminar on about nutrition and the benefits of healthy eating. Friends of Cancer Patients, which is the official charity partner, they're putting something on about cancer awareness. They're also bringing down their nice pink bus for a bit of workshops, and also Saudi German Hospital, they're coming down, they're bringing a cardiovascular surgeon down who can actually talk about healthy hearts.
So the registration officially closed at the moment, but that's not to say that people can't find out more online and via their social media platforms, because I'm sure that's where all the information is going to be headed towards.
Yes, absolutely. Corporatesports.ae, everything's on there.
Corporatesports.ae, get yourself over there. All the best with it as well. I'm sure it's going to be a huge success.
Thanks very much. It's going to be great.
Football, cricket, baseball, track and field, beach volleyball, golf. There's no rugby in there at the moment.
No rugby, not baseball, basketball.
Basketball, sorry.
Yeah, no rugby, I'm afraid. Maybe next year.
No rugby.
My passion, my love.
No rugby for you either.
I won't be going.
No? Okay.
Yeah. And you can actually register for the wellness seminars if you're not going.
You can register.
Yeah, okay. Online.
And in terms of those, in terms of the sort of growth of the format as well, do you think this is something that we mentioned there, that rugby's not there, it's a passion of yours. Is that something that maybe will be involved in the future? Maybe it's touch rugby or something like that?
Yes, definitely. In November, we're actually looking to bring in other sports that really no one else has even offered yet. So, for example, cycling. So it probably won't be in the same venue, of course, but externally. So cycling, shooting, archery, everything, really. It's all possible.
We very much look forward to see the benefits and the results of this one. It is the Dubai Corporate Sports Championship. It is going to be taking place February the 22nd and 23rd at the Swiss International Scientific School. But as you heard, Corporate Sports, just search online and they've got all of it covered for you there as well. Can't let you go without having a quick chat about all things rugby. You mentioned there, it is your passion.
Absolutely.
It's what you get up in the morning for as well. First and foremost, we've just been talking about Six Nations. Reactions on the first couple of weeks of the Six Nations so far?
Oh, geez, it's been hit and miss, hasn't it? I mean, I know we're talking about the French team. Oh, my goodness, they're going to have a real tough time ahead of them, especially for the World Cup coming up. But, I mean, I thought Ireland will be a little bit better than what they have been. But, I mean, I still see England taking it.
England have been fairly impressive, haven't they, in
Absolutely,
the first couple of weeks?
But it's going to be out next week, though. I mean, is he still out? I think he is, yeah.
Well, it's going to be really interesting as well, the way that it's scheduled this year as well, because England have to go to Cardiff, and Wales have been impressive as well, haven't they?
Yeah,
well, I guess England have got one more hurdle to get over, which is Wales. And honestly, I think if they get over that hurdle, they can give them the trophy. I know a lot of Scottish people might be very upset with me saying that, but I think at the moment, to your point, England are just, they look like the finished outfit to me. And honestly, the way they've been playing, their structures, their defence has been phenomenal. And at this moment in time, I personally thought the Irish would be the only team really to give them a bit of a headache. That they saw past them, and I think the Six Nations is basically theirs, Tom. I think it's going to be very, very difficult to beat them at this moment in time.
So Six Nations, no action this weekend. It's a rest weekend in the Six Nations, but this weekend's all about Super Rugby. It is back, and I know Super Rugby's had something of a cloud over it over recent seasons as well. Important year for Super Rugby, do you think?
Yes, definitely. World Cup around the corner, especially for Japan. So Sunwolves, I thought they'd try to put a nice strong team out, but Sharks are giving them a bit of a hammering right now.
Yeah. It's interesting to see the Super Rugby, because obviously you get what we then get is the ongoing debate of the strength of the Southern Hemisphere rugby as opposed to and Northern Hemisphere rugby, when the two you can sort of counterbalance. There's been a lot of chat in the build-up to this Super Rugby season about the lack of sort of players. We're seeing a lot of talent coming from the Southern Hemisphere into Northern Hemisphere club rugby at the moment. Do you ever think that there'd be a stage where you'd see more players come from the north down into Super Rugby or not?
I don't think so, Tom. And the reason why is because I think at the end of the day, it's a very profitable for players from the south to go play in the north. And especially from a South African perspective, if you look at the currency as to what you can earn, you can probably earn double in a much shorter career. So I think the only way that's going to stop is if players, for example, can earn the big bucks playing down south. But to me, Super Rugby at this moment in time, and I said this a lot of times on the show, I feel it's getting a bit watered down. I would still like to see a smaller competition, because to me, I enjoy watching the New Zealand teams. I think they're very, very strong. But the rest, Australian, even South African teams, I just find that they can't quite keep up with the likes of the Crusaders, the Hurricanes, etc. So I'd like to see them kind of bring it back down to Super 10 once again, where it's really strength versus strength every weekend. Because as you just mentioned now, the Sunwolves, who really wants to watch a game, what's the 38 points to 10 now, where it's not really, really competitive enough.
Yeah, it's week after week, isn't it, as well? But yeah, it's very diluted. I'd love to see it go back to Super 10. That'd be fantastic. Yeah. Really, really will be good.
And finally, can't let you go without a quick word about local rugby here in the region. I had luck enough to go down to the Canes Exiles match after the HSBC Rugby Festival a couple of weeks ago.
Let's not bring that one up.
Very competitive.
Great result.
Result fixed.
But it's just great to see competitive rugby being played here in the UAE. It seems to be in a good place at the moment.
Yes, definitely. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about those 23 lads who want to go down and play rugby together on a Friday, which is what UAE rugby is. I mean, I know we are trying to grow it, especially the Premiership. We want it to be a nice, big, established tournament, and hopefully one day we'll get there. And clubs like Exiles and Hurricanes and Dragons and even Quins, we are trying to get there, and I think we will build it. And eventually, in 2 years' time, I think we're going to see a very different setup in the UAE.
Listen, Sy, love to have you on board. Thank you so much indeed. All the best with the championships, February 22nd, 23rd. All the details, just search for Corporate Sports. Really appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on down to Barasti as well.
Thank you. Yeah. Awful location.
Tough. It's a tough office for a Saturday afternoon,
isn't
it? I know,
geez. All the lads are in the office still, and I'm here.
Bless you. Thanks very much indeed. Thanks for your time. As was mentioned there, if you'd like to find out more, then all you have to do is search Corporate Sports online and find out more about Dubai's Corporate Sports Championship. Taking a short break when we come back. Scores in the doors.
The Grill has all the sport you need right now on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Welcome back to The Grill, broadcasting live from Barasti, where the game is always on. Right, let's get around the grounds for you, shall we? Let's start with the football. We've got a score update. There was also a minute's silence as well, Matt Fortune.
Yeah, the game is underway down at the Amex on the south coast of England. It's 0-0 Brighton Derby so far, only 5 minutes on the clock. But the game was delayed slightly at the minute for a minute's silence for Gordon Banks. And I just thought it was fascinating. He's way before my time. I'm only 33. I think he's way before maybe Carl's, but not so much Tom's time as a goalkeeper. But a minute's silence for him. And reading some of the obituaries, I don't think I quite realised what an incredible goalkeeper Gordon Banks was. Won the World Goalkeeper Award 4 times in a row at a time when there was a lot of competition. Of course, best known for his save from Pele, I believe, in the 74 World Cup. And a lovely little anecdote was somebody saying on one of the podcasts I listened to, was I asked him about it once, and he said to me, God, you know what? I just wish that had gone in so people would stop asking me about it. But a fabulous guy, and by all accounts, a really wonderful human being as well, and rightly given a minute's silence today.
So that's what's happening in the FA Cup, Emirates FA Cup action underway. In fact, we had a game last night as well. Watford booking their place in the quarterfinals with their 1-0 victory away at QPR. There's also action down in España.
Indeed, and we're about 35 minutes into a game. It's between 15th place Levante and 16th place Celta Vigo, and it's Levante that lead 1-0. A goal from their captain and talisman, Jose Maria Luis Morales, after about 20 minutes.
What's happening in the rugby? Let's get the latest from Mr. CVR. What's going on?
Yeah, Tom, and as we cross over, Jeremy Ward has just got over for a 5-pointer for the Sharks, and the Sharks are annihilating the Sunwolves. It's an absolute hiding down in Singapore. 72 minutes played, the Sharks leading that one 45 points to 10. Those of you who missed the rugby last night, once again, a fantastic result for your Cherry and Whites. Gloucester finally getting a victory after losing the last 5 games. They beat who else? Log leaders, Exeter Chiefs, 24 points to 17. Gloucester are now third on the logs. Exeter Chiefs are still leading. Of course, they got 1 point last night. They got a bonus point. In another game last night, the Bristol Bears, unfortunately, came up short against Wasps, losing that one 29 points to 22.
Look, I'm not for a moment, you know, denying Gloucester a victory and anything like that. I think, you know, any Gloucester victory is great and they're being continuing their grid season. It sort of goes back to my question, though, of you a little earlier on about having crucial games during a Six Nations Championship, because we know that Exeter have obviously been so successful in recent years. There are a number of those players are part of the England training squad. Gloucester aren't, and they're having a very good season this season under new management and new coaching styles, etc. But they still sort of, they benefit from the fact that they don't have that many current internationals in their squad, so they can sort of maintain that squad. Even, you know, even the likes of Danny Cipriani is still playing because he's not part of England's plans at the moment. So to be able to have that and be able to have that continuity in what must be a difficult period for other clubs is tough.
Yeah, I think it makes a massive difference. But then, as you say, I guess you should sign players that you don't think are going to make the England national team or any national team for that sake. But Tom, you make a very good point. But I think, you know, it's like in football, like in rugby, it's all about the squad system. And, you know, call it, I mean, Gloucester back in the days, we would say a smaller club. They're not. They're really competitive at the moment. And yes, they will benefit at a period like this from the likes of Exeter and Saracens and Leicester Tigers, etc. But to me, it makes the competition so much more interesting. As I said, they're up to third at the moment. Exeter still leading that log, but I think even with these players missing for this part of the Six Nations, to me it makes the tournament so much more interesting.
So there is another game off in La Liga, as we just mentioned to you a minute ago. In fact, there's a goal that's just been scored there. We'll get a scorer for you in just a few moments' time. There's also an early over in the Championship. Rotherham taking on Sheffield Wednesday. That one's kicking off at 5 p.m. local time here in the UAE. We'll give you a bit of team news on that,
Tom,
later.
I hate to burst your bubble on that, but I was looking up this game earlier, and Sheffield Wednesday's recent goal per game record is 0-0-1-0-1-0-0-0-1-1-1-1. So I'm not expecting masses from that one, to be honest.
Well, that's what we said last time, and it was an 8-goal screamer, wasn't it? So let's keep an eye on that one as well. We have got a goal in La Liga. We'll find out who that is for you in just a moment's time, but just let you know that it is the visitors who've taken the lead there. Let's stay with football. Why? Because you might have noticed that a certain Danny Welbeck was in town this week. Our man, Chris McCarty, got to catch up with Danny, the Arsenal player, who was visiting the Arsenal Soccer School Dubai, providing young footballers an unforgettable training session as they learn to play the Arsenal way. So this is Danny's second visit to the school, which comes as the ASSD celebrates its 10th anniversary. Since 2009, the school has trained thousands of young footballers, and 13 Arsenal players have made their way to the school to offer training guidance and inspiration both on and off the field. During their catch-up, during their chat, Chris McCarty asked Danny Welbeck for his differences, or the differences that Danny's seen between management and time under Unai Emery and his predecessor, Mr. Arsene Wenger.
I've played under a lot of managers, and I think everybody's got their pros and cons, and everybody does stuff their own way. I think with Unai Emery, and he likes to, you know, when we're going into games, I think every single player knows exactly how the opposition plays and how he has his game plan set out and how we execute it to get the win on the day.
Wilbert was then asked by Mr. McCarty for a bit of prediction, but not sort of one of your traditional predictions. He said, which one would you rather take, Danny? Top four finish or trophies?
I think the accumulation of, you know, winning, taking each game as it comes, trying to win every single game that you go into, the rest will take care of itself, you know, because in the end, if you win in each game, if you're focusing on the next game and you're winning it, then hopefully you end up with a trophy or you'll be as high up the table as possible. And yeah, I think my mentality is sort of, you got to take each game as it comes and, you know, and try and get the correct result there.
Has Unai, has he spelled out exactly what his target is for this campaign? Is finishing top four absolutely paramount for Arsenal Football Club?
Well, it's something with Arsenal Football Club. You go into games and you know that you're expected to get the right result every single time. So if we do that, we'll end up in the right position and, you know, and hopefully with a trophy as well too.
Danny Welbeck. Very well media trained, Danny Welbeck, as well. First rule of media training, just don't answer the question. Just sit on a fence, just go around the question and don't answer it.
Shock horror, footballer wants to win every game he plays. Interesting.
But Danny Welbeck, to me, hasn't really been enjoying life as much as at Arsenal as what really was expected from him when he started there. I know he's had a couple of injury woes here and there, but I don't think he's really, I would say, part of Unai Emery's plans. He seems to be struggling to make the starting lineup.
Yeah, I think a player like Welbeck suffers from the fact that he's a little bit too flexible. He's a very, very popular member of the dressing room, can play wide left, wide right, can play through the middle, but he's certainly not going to get a role up there ahead of Lacazette or Aubameyang. And unfortunately, he actually was playing quite well in Europe in our second string competitions, but then he has a really awful broken ankle, just came down heavy during a tackle and has been out since, about 2-3 months. And it's a shame, I think, because he's exactly the sort of player that Arsenal could do with at the moment. A bit of direct running, a bit of pace. He's never the most convincing player. You never think if the ball is on a plate for him to bury it that he's going to do it. But he is capable of some really good finishes. I remember a couple of goals against Leicester when Arsenal were pushing for the title a couple of years ago. He's certainly a valuable asset. And unfortunately, he is also synonymous with the terrible running of Arsenal Football Club recently, because he's about to run out of contract at the end of this year. And that's and you look at the fact that Arsenal are losing Aaron Ramsey on a free transfer. They essentially had to give away Alexis Sanchez. They were held against the wall by Mesut Ozil in his contract negotiations, all because these players were allowed to run down their contracts. And at a time when Arsenal are unable, and the new manager is unable to be backed in the transfer window, waving goodbye to a potential... I mean, Danny Welbeck in the current market's a £20-25 million player, and that sort of money can be used to strengthen the squad where it's needed. So unfortunately for Danny, I think he's probably played his last game for the club, and it's a real shame.
Let's hear one more time from Danny Welbeck, because you were talking about his future there. That's exactly the next question that Chris McCarthy put to him. What's your future look like?
Yeah, it's one of them things now, you know, with the situation that I'm in at the moment. I'm just focusing on my rehab and making sure that I'm 100% right. And it's not something that I'll rush to get back out on the pitch. I'll make sure it's 100%. And I'm happy with the progress at the moment, and I can't wait to be back out on the pitch.
Have you had any indication from Arsenal that they would be keen to keep you long term, Danny?
It's something that my focus is just on rehab only, and then the rest will take care of itself in due time.
This is The Grill, live from Barasti. Barasti's 10-year challenge, 29 dirham drinks menu. On sale now.
Right, let's get down to Spain. La Liga, early kickoff down there. We've told you there was a goal. I think there's been another one as well.
There has indeed, Tom. And Levante are two up. It may not be the glamour tie of the weekend for sure in Spain, but it's actually a big win. Levante and Celta Vigo, they're both sort of yo-yo clubs, filter around a bit. But Levante, the away side, 1 point advantage going into the game over Celta Vigo between 15th and 16th position. And they've just snatched through their right back, Koke, a 2-0 lead going into the break.
Let's go down to South Africa. Thankfully, we have our South African sports correspondent live with us here on the show, and he's desperate to talk cricket at the moment because South Africa taking on Sri Lanka, first test, Durban. What's happening?
Tom putting me on the spot here. And when you hear these scores, I'll have you know, it is a five-day test match and not a one-day. What I can tell you is South Africa made 235 all-out in their first innings. Sri Lanka came back with 191 all-out, and then South Africa backed that up with 259 all-out in their second innings. Sri Lanka currently 263 for 9, Tom. They need 41 runs to win as we speak, and they got one wicket in hand, but everything will rely on Pereira. Of course, he's sitting on 121 runs. He's faced 179 balls, hit two sixes and 10 fours. So the key for South Africa is to get this talisman out, and I will keep you updated as Sri Lanka are chasing down the runs in Durban.
Because they've got plenty of time, haven't they? Yeah,
I mean, they do. Well, they're only in the fourth day, so they can...
An extra day,
They can bat for another day.
So the equation is, basically, you boys need one wicket and they need 41 runs or so.
That's correct, yeah. They've still got one wicket. They're down to their last man now, so it's Fernando and Pereira at the pitch. Pereira on 121 121 runs. Fernando is on zero. So they're into the tail end now. South Africa in one more wicket to win it. Sri Lanka need 41 more runs.
Two games in the Pakistan Super League here in the UAE over the course of today. A little later on down at the Dubai International Cricket Stadium here in Dubai, you've got the Lahore Qalandars taking on the Karachi Kings. That one starts at 8 p.m. But there is a game being played now as we speak. Islamabad United taking on the Multan Sultans in this one. And it's currently Islamabad who are at the crease. They're 91 for a 6 from their 15.2 overs of their allotted 20. Who's at the crease? Patel and Shadab Khan are both at the crease. And Mohammad Irfan, the big 7-footer, bowling from one end. He's into his final over. Ali Shafiq at the other end as well. Who's done the damage in this particular innings? I can tell you in just a few moments' time as we look at the scorecard in hole. Luke Ronchi got 51 for Islamabad. Early doors, 51 from 33. He was then picked up by the wily old spin of Shahid Afridi. Rizwan Hussain scored for Callum Delport with a four-ball duck. Then there was no starts for Talat and Phil Salt. And then that man, Shadab Khan, who's currently at the crease with Patel. Asif Ali, the other man who has gone. Mohammad Irfan with, as I said, into his final over. He picked up one. And also wickets for Shahid Afridi and Junaid Khan. Andre Russell also part of the Multan Sultan. So, plenty of action at present. And in fact, not only will keep an eye on that one for you, you'll be able to get more details on the Pakistan Super League over the next couple of weeks. A whole host of international stars are in town for it, so if you do get a chance to get down to one of the games, please do. Always entertaining. And good to have Jimmy Foster back in town. James Foster is part of the coaching for one of the franchises. James Foster, who kept for Middlesex and England on many occasions, now turning his attention to coaching. And this is not his first Pakistan Super League. He's been involved with franchise cricket here in the region and further afield for many years. He had a chat with Chris McCarty midweek about the Pakistan Super League, about his team's chances and about the impact it's having on cricket worldwide.
I mean, I'm really excited. I mean, first for myself, it's a privilege to be involved in the PSL this year, obviously with associated with Zalmi. It's the quality of cricket. I mean, I've watched it on TV for the last three seasons and the quality of cricket is ridiculously high, incredible. And I'm just really thrilled. I mean, we've had Zalmi best part of maybe 5 days of hard practice. So we're about as ready, you know, as you're ever going to be for our first match. It's extremely exciting. I mean, we've been training at Sharjah, but also at the ICC Academy. So you get to see a lot of the other teams practicing and training. So you get to see all the names and the superstars. And it's just incredibly exciting. And it's a... obviously not just a wonderful opportunity for someone like a young aspiring coach like myself, but if you think about the young, talented Pakistan players, you know, you've got 17, 18, 19, 20-year-olds who have the opportunity not just to learn from their Pakistan legends who are going to be involved in their side, but also the overseas superstars.
Yeah, let's talk about some of those, and let's talk about Zalmi if we can, because you are stacked. Yeah. I'm looking at your squad here. Some of the leading names, Misbah, of course, is in there, Kieran Pollard, etc. I mean, who are the standout players? Who are you kind of most excited to see, not only within your own side, but across the league as well?
I mean, look, I mean, you mentioned some names there with part of our side. You know, we've got Darren Sammy as well, who's led our side for quite a few seasons. You know, you've got Cameron Akmal, Hassan Ali's the, I think, number one bowler in the world at the moment for in white ball cricket, Wahab Riaz. You know, we are stacked, like you said. But just to pick a few, you know, a few of the overseas stars from the opposition, you know, you've got AB de Villiers, you know, who's not the worst player in the world, that's for sure. You know, I was out in the BPL, in Bangladesh Premier League last month and got to witness, unfortunately, him pongo our team all around the park, and it was a joy to watch, really. I mean, just got to, you know, really appreciate greatness. So got AB de Villiers, I'm really intrigued to see how he goes. Andre Russell, and Riley Rousseau, the South African who's plays in England now on a coal pack, but he's had a phenomenal sort of 8 months in T20 cricket. I think he might have been almost like player of the tournament in the Bangladesh Premier League. And not to forget someone like Shane Watson as well, who I was fortunate enough to play with, be part of the coaching staff of the Thunder this winter and also in the T10 competition. He's, you know, a phenomenal, phenomenal player. So it's just littered with stars, mate. It really is. And it's going to be incredibly highly competitive competition.
You mentioned there, James, that you are a young coach, very much still making their way in the game. When it comes to T20, and I've had this conversation with so many in the game, so many pundits. We were in conversation with Nasser Hussain a few weeks back, and I asked him the same question. At T20 level, because I think we'd all agree, you look at the squads, stacked full of some wonderful talents. What's the differential? What turns a great team into a champion? What are the marginal gains that you're looking at as a coach?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the big things is, everyone's got an enormous amount of talent. Confidence is a big thing. Often when you get on a roll as a team and you start winning, it becomes a real habit. And that's often, you know, it doesn't matter what level it is, whether you're playing sort of domestic cricket back in England and the T20 Blast, or if you're in some of these tournaments around the world, confidence goes a long, long way, and you start believing when you get into those tough situations. You know, you have the mindset, geez, we won the last game, the previous game before that, when we got in a tight situation, you win. And that really does help you get on a roll. And on the flip side, sometimes when you're losing, you can get on the rock. So that's one of the challenges. I think the fielding is one of the standout things. The movement off the ball, you know, saving runs in the field. Now, as it comes down to small margins, some of these games are won by one or two runs at times, and then you can look back and sometimes the difference is in the fielding. But, you know, the way the game has evolved, when at first T20, I remember playing in the first season in England 2003, the way the game has evolved is phenomenal, and it will continue to evolve. And as players, you have to grow with that. You have to adapt your game. You can't stand still. And I think also your mindset as a coach, you've got to try and, as you mentioned about marginal gains, you've got to try and think slightly ahead of the trend and see if you can get it. But ultimately, that in mind, it is also still a simple game. Sometimes you've got to do the basics very well to be successful.
Absolutely, no doubt about that. And the PSL still very much in its infancy. We are privileged over in this part of the world to see some of these names firsthand. There is the Pakistan Super League, but of course it's played across Sharjah, Dubai and Abu Dhabi. The final five matches will be returning to Pakistan as they look to, I guess, regain their footing on the international cricket scale. It's well documented what went on in 2009. From a personal point of view, James, I mean, give us, well, a professional and a personal point of view. Professionally, good for the game of cricket to go home. From a personal point of view, if Peshwar Zelmi do get through to the latter stages, you comfortable to head on over there?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm actually really excited about it. You know, it's a real shame that, you know, cricket isn't able to be playing in Pakistan. It was always been out there, I don't know if it's best part of a decade or whatever it might be. I speak to Pakistan players who are really thrilled the fact that it's coming back, and I think it's the supporters back home in Pakistan, you know, it's, by all accounts, the crowds are going to be, it's like the stadium is going to be absolutely jam-packed. So, you know, personally, I'm absolutely fine with it. I'm really excited to see the country, actually. In these leagues, you get to rub shoulders with all sorts of superstars. You know, I'm like a kid in a sweet shop. And I was sitting next to Wazim Akram the other day, and he was talking about how great the country is. And it's, and you know, you sit there, and I'm just, you know, a blessed to be here. But I'm just delighted to go to Pakistan, and I feel totally safe.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.